Yeah.
They just don't exist. And so people are after this durability and this high torque nature for whatever the task may be.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Engineering Talks, a podcast created by the Advanced Engineering team. ATalks brings together some of the newest and most innovative minds in engineering and manufacturing to help better the future for our industry. We hope you enjoy the series.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Jeremy Whittingham here, interviewing on behalf of Advanced Engineering. And once again, I'm delighted to bring you another Advanced Engineering Talks podcast, where innovation never sleeps. My guest today is the founder of another innovative startup, and in fact, winner of the Advanced Engineering Enabling Innovation Prize at last November's show, where he also did a great pitch and won £2,000 as well from our sponsors, Xometry. His winning entry, OxDrive, is an all-in-one electric wheel drive designed to run continuously in the most demanding environments. So helping to drive off-highway, for instance, such as agritech construction applications, further towards net zero. He is Chris Horton. Chris, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Really pleased to be here.
Yeah. And thanks for joining us out of your busy schedule, no doubt. Especially running a startup must be, extremely challenging and lots to do. In fact, OxDrive was, I believe, incorporated in 2021. Is that correct? I think.
That's correct. Yeah.
Born out of a collaboration of funding and work, research work between government, research and industry. Could you kick us off and tell us a bit about how you got to where you are now? And also be great to touch on your background, which is, within powertrain development and project leadership with a lot of motorsport and Formula One applications.
Yeah, that's correct. So taking it right back, I've always had an interest in advanced engineering. It started off, I'm the third generation interested in motorsport, but I'm the only one that had an interest in taking it in a mechanical perspective. I went to university and then went to Ray Mallock's and then Cosworth to develop powertrain technology, working in all types of series, including Formula One. I did a couple of stints in Formula One, including managing all of their calibration and trackside operations and a lot of business development. And then in 2010, we formed Performance Projects, which is an engineering consultancy focused initially purely on motorsport. That's a collaboration between myself and Terence Goad, the technical director, who I'd met at Ray Mallock's. And so we did it as a motorsport consultancy, but quite quickly, the interest in what we do, if we consider motorsport to be fully functioning high-performance vehicles rather than just the sporting element, we got approached relatively early on with somebody who was familiar with us to do an autonomous tractor. The rationale being that he wanted to undertake tasks. He was an AI company, a computer company, that understood that if he did jobs autonomously, then you weren't constricted by labor cycles. You could charge, discharge over cycles. So the analogy we like to use is that if you're plowing a field, if you do it with labor and shift cycles, you need to do it in 8 hours. If you're doing it autonomously, you can do it over 24 hours. And in a calendar day, you've done the same amount of work, but your vehicle size is much smaller. Your battery is much smaller. The commercial reality of it's a lot more attractive. So he approached Performance Projects to do a clean sheet vehicle, a tractor, but not as a tractor as you normally imagine it. It can take the ideas, develop a vehicle, design it and manufacture it. So that's what we did in 2019. And as part of that, we identified that the drives for it were not available. We just wanted to get a standalone drive that you could bolt on, plug in, and away you go. But they don't exist in an electric format. So we did a lot of work around this, and pre-COVID, we had already got a project in, as you say, in collaboration with University of Lincoln to do some other work, some analysis work as to what they thought drives needed to do, and some testing at the tail end of it. So it's a collaboration between University of Lincoln, ourselves, and a few potential adoptees. So we then designed all-in-one hubs that ultimately became the OxDrive spin-out. And so they are, as you rightly said, high torque, hubs with exceptional durability that are highly integrated. So they're a small unit that you just give power and a demand for an amount of torque or an amount of speed, and per wheel they drive away quite happily. So that is the core of Oxdrive.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And then I think you got some funding, was it at that stage, from UKRI to help develop this further?
Yeah, correct. So the initial project was for Innovate funded under the Power Electronics and Motor Drives Fund. That was for the drive itself. And then very quickly, that then became, it's incorporated on a platform called the Gopher platform. That's a small coffee table size. We do drives in various sizes, but one of the early adoptees is this coffee table sized vehicle, about 150 kilos, which was another Innovate UK funded under a DEFRA strand, designed originally for transporting fruit around in polytunnels, but requiring a high torque drive so that it runs for extended periods. And so that enabled further investment in the drive and a platform that was easily adoptable by robotics and service providers in order to drive around quite happily at a platform level. And that was again an Innovate funded. And then finally, we've been successful in a advanced propulsion center project to develop the motor controller in the integration, because a lot of our USP is in the integration and durability performance aspects rather than individual key technologies.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. It's the brakes and the gears and the whole motor, everything incorporated together, isn't it? And as you say, the being able to go to do this within very rough environmental landscapes.
That's absolutely right. So it's everything incorporated. And because we because we've got whole vehicle experience and had walked the walk as a customer, we knew that what we were trying to achieve, and we know that integration is key. And most providers that approach this problem are traditionally a motor company, and they may collaborate with a gearbox company. So they still have this disjoint between them, because they haven't got the skill set internally, and also they have a handing over in terms of design. Whereas we didn't do that. We said, look, we want an integrated drive. We want everything nested together for compaction and durability and thermal management. Let's do the whole thing, because on our original implementation with Dynium, we had hydraulic part brake releases, we had a coolant system for the motor controller, we had a separate motor control. All these things are boxes and plumbing, and even when you've done all that, there's a lot of durability testing to test the system. And we said, look, no one wants to do that. They just want to buy a drive. So we took it from a clean sheet, integrated. So where other people have interfaces and drives, we're getting rid of shafts and seals and connections, and we're putting a lot of IP into the consolidation, and ultimately the drive being an in-wheel sort of drive.
Wow, lots of efficiencies I'm guessing within that, both in terms of the use of it for the end user, hopefully, but also perhaps in manufacturing it as well.
It's an interesting discipline, and the benefits are very significant. So we're already seeing that with potential adoptees from a wide range. We call them off-highway drives. Because they're differentiated very heavily from automotive because of the both the speed they operate at and also the voltages that they operate. We've deliberately gone for a what's considered from legislative point of view, non-hazardous voltage. So it's below 60 volts in our case, so that all the connections, all of the adoption is easy for people to do, both at a vehicle manufacturer level and an operator level, where all the battery packs are much easier to work with, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So what stage would you say you're currently at now towards commercialization? Are these a lot of what you're showing at the moment prototypes, would you say, or are some of them actually starting to be in use now? And then what do you see the next step as being?
So we are selling commercially, but we're selling to early adopters. So our immediate customers understand that they're not that they're fully functioning. They've seen where they've used, so they're used in fields on robotics. We've got a diverse from South America into Europe and in the UK. So it's a global reach already, but it's it's very targeted customers that understand and are keen on adopting. They have a very real driver for wanting to use our technology, and they appreciate that it's on the route to very rapid productionization and scale up. So yeah, between now and within the 12-month cycle, we are looking to scale up manufacture, and in parallel with that, develop some of the real-world durability testing alongside of our analytical testing that we've already done.
Right, really interesting. Yeah. I often wondered, you know, the agri-tech and sort of off-road sectors are so vital and such big drivers to, you know, well, the world economy, but also, you know, needs for sustainability and so on. But they sometimes almost get slightly forgotten in favor of sort of more on road things that are happening on road. But it's such an important sector, you know, the off-road sector, that I don't think people realize. But I mean, what are you going to see as the sort of challenges and hurdles at the in the next, you know, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, do you think, for you?
Well, for us being an SME, we're certainly on the investment and development route. So we're seeking some investment that's looking very positive at the moment. So that's very good. So that then enables the next phase of work to go. It would be slightly funny to say it's scale up, but it's not far off, in the sense that we have designs out there working, running as production intent units. So yeah, the design's mature, obviously requires investment in order to do rapid scale up. So terms of just volumes of cash required to scale up and manufacture in high volume to drive down the cost. You know, that's the ultimate. From where we are, really, the technology is proven. So it's about the real world running, because that just takes time, and also the scale up in volume, so that we can reduce the price. We're on the cost curve, the rapid cost curve at the moment of that. So for us personally, we're on that journey of scale up and cost down. The our adoptees are developing the technology in the vehicles. They've got really big drivers in agri-tech. Their biggest challenge is really in the sort of seasonal workforce, which is traditionally a migrant workforce. So they are struggling with the current environment. Obviously Brexit, COVID, but also what the troubles that are happening in Europe. Obviously looking far afield for staff. And so being able to secure, particularly in the high labour, so where our ox drives are used, for instance, in fruit transport, the pickers are employed to pick. The pickers are paid in terms of massive fruit picked. So they don't want to transport fruit because they're not paid to transport fruit. It's a volume of staff. So to come along with a drive and a system, but the drive is our core element, obviously, is a real demand driver, and also doesn't displace jobs. In fact, it's generating jobs and high-value jobs and exportable jobs. So there's a whole ecosystem building around that. And so we're in tying in with that. And then outside of the sort of agri-tech, there's so many roles where people are looking for scanning, follow me technology, like you get with a golf cart, where you just want to take the legwork out of moving stuff around. And that includes even stretching as far as defense with last kilometer supply of troops and that kind of thing, where you can take the sort of legwork out. So there's many permutations for the drives.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of defense. That would be a huge potential. Yeah.
And so there aren't many UK suppliers of this technology. And one of the key things from Innovate UK's point of view is how do we generate sustainable ecosystem and supply chain for all of the electronic motor drives, but also the vehicles. And so for us, we're key in that, because we join a lot of the dots, from people who manufacture core components of electromagnetics right the way through to end suppliers. And we really bridge that gap very well for UKRI as a whole. And so therefore, it's a critical element. Well, one of the ways we differentiate ourselves is that we are a component supplier. And so most people you see in agri-tech and other fields, they are developing the computer systems, the vehicles and everything. We're horizontally integrated, so we can provide you a really good drive if you want, on a really good platform. And so you can concentrate on developing your core technology, safe in the knowledge that it'll move itself as you would like it to.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's part of the rugged environment question, but in terms of its durability for different types of landscape, is that a challenge? Has that been a challenge, or are you looking at, well, you know, hills, mountains, trees? do you know what I mean? Or is it mainly, you know, does it need flat, relatively flat surfaces?
No, quite the opposite. It's got huge. They've got very, very high torque capacity.
Right.
So they are designed to go everywhere. The the only area we've looked at and haven't ventured into and aren't planning to in the near future is space, because right. moon or Martian environments are incredibly abrasive.
Yes.
So those are areas that we haven't got on our roadmap at the moment. But every kind of terrestrial based system is very much on our agenda, because they just don't exist, and so people are after this durability and this high torque nature for whatever the task may be.
Yeah, really interesting. And you mentioned about sustainable supply chain, and I'm hearing a lot about, you know, people, you know, looking at manufacturing and using materials from a sustainable source to begin with, as well as, you know, looking at the whole life cycle of what they're manufacturing, from circularity of materials and the provenance of such things. Is that something that's you know, that you've really got an eye on as well? Then it sounds like you have, but is that a challenge?
Yeah, and it's very multi-layered. So for instance, we're not reliant on any core technology, so we can change motor technology if we need to, quite happily. So whether it's you know, ferrous type non-rare earth magnet or rare earth magnet or any permutation of, we're agnostic to that. We can incorporate various things, depends on the performance and threshold, as well as the whole life cycle sort of credentials that you're after. We also are pretty, it's a UK based system. Everything that's in the current units is sourced through UK supply chain and predominantly UK manufactured, which we're quite passionate about. And but we're quite realistic in that some of the scale up volume you require an international cost structure for. But these long term, the whole point about Oxdrive units is they're developed because of the UK ecosystem, because we have things like all the inverter technology, the design, the analysis. We're such a hotbed of innovation and skills capability that I think that hub should remain here. And we're very passionate about that. And all of this sort of interesting work is done here.
Absolutely. I was going to say, you're located, I think, in that sort of corridor with between Oxford and Cambridge. Is that right as well? It's a great area.
We're bang in the middle of that arc, exactly as you say. We're also members of the Silverstone Technology Cluster, which develop that.
Yes, we work as a show a lot with the Silverstone Technology Cluster, a great incubator and you know, place to house lots of innovation there. That makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned a lot, understandably, I think, about the agri-tech side of things. I'm getting the impression that that's the one that you might see as perhaps the first one to really break into. I don't know, but because there's construction, there's what you're saying about defence and lots of other. Are there other areas, you know, that you're really looking at?
So it's a really interesting question. We consider agritech as our beachhead market, because there's quite an early drive for that in very high volume. So it's got a balance of immediacy and volume. That said, our biggest adoptees to date in terms of our revenue and turnover are in other sectors, including, so this concept of a configurable platform. We offer consultancy to support our integrations, which is a USP, if you like, of us. The drive, so we can support the adoption and whole vehicle design as required. So we're helping people create their vehicles as well, and that's we've even got an implementation where our drives are on a skateboard. So they've even been used for sort of concept car type use, where people want to showcase a moving platform and they want to top hat it with their vehicle to demonstrate the concept of what of what they're doing, and they can demonstrate an awful lot at low speed. And because it's non-hazardous voltage, because it's easily adoptable, and we know the technology end to end, then they can adopt it. So we've got high pull for high revenue in proportion to our turnover from automotive. We've been asked, even as a off, because we've got the Gopher showcase, then people, we found that just by walking it around, people are interested. So one really interesting respin of it was in mountain rescue. You've got at one extreme, you've got air ambulance. At the other extreme, you've got road-based ambulance. But the what if I'm halfway up a mountain track and need a stretcher bearer? You know, it's so open. The technology is so open that once you've got good drives on a robust platform, people are asking about scanning for perimeter scanning of architecture to make sure that there isn't, you know, it hasn't been, you know, there's no problem with their infrastructure, that they can reference data from the last time they drove past. What you might call sentry duty, but not in an aggressive way, in a infrastructure sort of, is it still there? Is it still operating? You know, inspection is a good phrase. Yeah. So there's so many permutations. And because most people at the moment, when they consider that kind of application, they think they have to generate the vehicle, the drive and everything. They're not developing that technology. We're just coming with that opportunity to just create the unique implementation they want. And we're driving down the cost and increasing the durability of everything else. So fascinating world. And we certainly encourage people with ideas to just scribble them around, to just chat about where they might like to see the technologies going and the platforms going and where they might have a use for drives.
And do you think, is there a challenge with battery technology at all in terms of, you know, I know that a lot of battery technology can be the weakest link in something, but maybe, you know, because of heaviness and weight, but perhaps that's not an issue. How does that work?
So we're agnostic on the supply of electricity. It can come from any source. So you are quite right. So depending on the format that we have, we the current platforms that we use are predominantly lithium based battery electric. But that's certainly not the case. So for our bigger platforms, we do drives up to a continuous power of 8 kilowatts and about 3,500 newton meters per wheel, which is a sort of crop sprayer, small crop sprayer. And indeed, we have a collaboration with Howsams, a UK-based crop sprayer, who are interested in the technology. And so whilst they're looking at battery electric, they're also looking at electric generation through hydrogen generation, either combustion or fuel cell, or methane combustion. So the sources of electricity are quite wide. And dare I say it, for a crossing over of technologies, it's even possible to use a diesel generator, which sounds like an oxymoron, but if it establishes some of the technology in the drive line and the vehicle, then it is a soft transition. And you might ask, why would you do that? Well, but Howsams have a particular interest in precision control of drives because they can get a better precision than with other more traditional drive formats. And that enables them for chemical application and things like that to be that more precise. So they still get a benefit from the addition of de-risking technology, understanding the precision element, even if, dare we say it, the source is not the long-term source of electricity generation.
Sure. Interesting. Yeah. That just helps them to start getting it adopted in the first place. Yeah.
Exactly. There's so much that we want to de-risk that both from a legislative point of view, from an application, from a durability, that you don't have to solve the whole world in one step, do you? And we certainly have implementations that are full battery electric, and the Dynium tractor that we showcase and the Gopher platform that we showcase are that big leap. But anything that can soft transition just is a massive de-risker, isn't it? And people are comfortable with the technologies, and therefore they can see why they should take a risk in one area without having to put all their eggs in one basket if that's not a sensible thing to do.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're doing some amazing stuff, and you and your colleague Terence, I think, isn't it? Who also, as you mentioned earlier, has a big background in motorsport and so on. Is it mainly just the two of you, or are you sort of now starting to make all this happen, sort of get more of an infrastructure of
yes. So we're based at Silverstone Circuit on the Technology Park, and there's half a dozen of us working now here from our infrastructure here, from our unit here.
Right.
And that's mainly in design and build and test. But quite quickly now we're looking to develop, and part of the investment that we're generating right now is going into customer facing. So whether it's engineering and implementation, or it's sales and support and
right.
That kind of thing. So that infrastructure is now being built upon. But certainly Terence and I are the originators of this, but we're already expanding and seek to do so more as this, with more and more customer facing support as we go on in the very near future.
Sounds exciting, really exciting times for you over there. I think
it's exciting times for us, but we definitely, and we very much see ourselves as enablers. So it's really exciting to show what we've got, and the platforms are really what germinate people's interest, because the drives, frankly, those who have a requirement for a drive know what they are and excited, but most adoptees and potential adoptees, they're more interested by the platform, because once we have the platform and can just show it as a vanilla thing, so they just, it generates ideas of where the technology goes. And that's really, for us, that's the biggest interest, because people are coming out going, oh, I've never really thought of this, but yes, the drives are an enabler, but actually what I want is a vehicle that can look for this or do that or help me out with this activity. And suddenly it's the vehicle's been a critical element, and our ability to support our drives into a vehicle, whether it's a customer vehicle or they want a vanilla platform. That's really critical, because it's a skill set that, you know, you can't expect people to have. There are people with particular market interests and knowledge and skills. We help fill in the rest of the thing with our drives and our platforms.
Well, brilliant. I mean, it's a great example of UK IP and R&D all collaborating together, and we need more of it really in the UK to be getting our ideas out there. But you're a great example of that, Chris. A great conversation, really interesting. Thank you so much for that. You know, clearly the off-road sectors are huge drivers of innovation, and for good reason, because they'll need to have a massive impact on our net zero goals and a sustainable world in general. I mean, just on the agri-tech side, you know, the use of land going forward over the next number of years is a big issue, isn't it? And making use of it effectively and efficiently all is very important in terms of the food provision for the world. So things are going to change fundamentally, and I think you're going to be a key part of that. We wish, thanks again, Chris, we wish you and Oxdrive continued success. It'll be interesting, and I hope we keep working with you at Advanced Engineering, and maybe we'll be showcasing you as you provide other things as you get bigger and commercialize further. We'd be interested in seeing how you get on, so we'll be hopefully keeping in touch over the coming years or even months. So thanks again for the time. Thanks for the chat. Thanks everybody who's listening as well to this podcast. Please feel free to listen to more. We have more on our advancedengineeringuk.com website. So thanks again, and we'll see you at the next one. Goodbye.